you know, I wonder what kind of faith do you think that Peter had? Perhaps you start off with that one that I suggested in the slide where Peter's trying to walk on the water and sinking. We'll talk about that a little bit. But you know, Peter also got out of the boat in the first place when nobody else did. Peter's the one who, when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's the one who preached the first sermon on Pentecost and again introduced the household of Cornelius. When you look at the faith of Peter, he has an overcoming faith. And Peter has one that perhaps I identify with as much as anybody else, because sometimes I struggle. There's a song that we sing sometime. "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe." I don't think that's where I always am, are you? Do you have those times when life gets hard, or where things are going bad, or where you don't understand what's going on, and your faith begins to waver? Because I do. I know some of you say, "Well, you're the preacher, you shouldn't do that." I'm just being honest with you that sometimes that's where I am. And when I look at Peter and the struggles that he had, I think that's where he was too. He said, "If everybody denies you, I won't," but he did. We're going to look at a lot of these things that are struggles with Peter, but I want to go back to 2 Peter 1:1 and look specifically at that verse where Peter identifies himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and he's talking to those who have obtained like precious faith. And so I want to talk about a faith like Peter. Having a faith like Peter. Those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, what we have is not because of what we are and what we've done, but because of who He is and what He has done. So we're going to look at 3 or 4 things this morning about Peter's faith. And one of the things that I guess it had escaped me until I started looking and studying and spending a good time with Peter in the Word. And you know, when Peter first met Jesus, Jesus scared him. Peter was afraid. It was when he was called to be an apostle. And if you look at Luke chapter 5, Jesus is coming out by the Gennesaret. And when he's coming out there, he's preaching and he's teaching. And he sees these two boats, and the people, the fishermen basically have left, and they're washing their nets, and so there are just two boats here. But there's a crowd of people coming with Jesus to hear him preach, to be taught. And Jesus looks at these two boats, and he finds one of the boats, one of them belonging to a fisherman by the name of Peter, and he chooses his boat, and he gets on the boat with Simon Peter, and he says, "Let's push out just a little bit." And so Jesus uses Simon Peter's boat as his pulpit. It must have been interesting. He didn't go too far offshore. I live on a little lake or a big pond, whichever one you want to call it. And you know, when we're in our backyard, if Lynn's up at the house and I'm down at the lake for something, doing something, we've got to be careful when we talk to each other, because our lake magnifies our voice. And so we always try to speak in terms of "yes, dear," and "honey, darling," and all these kind of things, because we don't want the neighbors to know we address each other in any other fashion. And so I think that's kind of what water that's helping him project what he's got to say. Jesus says, "Let's use your boat." And I don't know about Peter. Peter's just meeting Jesus, really, just in the early beginnings of this. He's fixing to be called to be an apostle. What I do know is that Peter has fished all night, but he caught no fishes. There's a little song we used to sing in Sunday school about fished all night and caught no fishes. In fact, whenever Peter's in the Bible and talks about his fishing, he usually catches no fish until Jesus comes. He's a professional fisherman. That's his job. And he comes out and he's tired. If you've ever been out on a professional boat, once I went out on a shrimp boat all night long, and I thought, "This is going to be so exciting. I'm going to go out on a real shrimp boat. We're going to catch shrimp." I don't know if I had envisioned little bitty hooks on little bitty line. but basically they drop the nets and they drag for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then after 3 or 4 hours, they pull them up and dump the nets out on the deck and you go through them. And that only takes about 30 minutes, and they drop the nets and they drag for hours and hours and hours. It got boring. It got tiring. In fact, I found a place up on the deck where nobody else was, and coiled up there with some rope, and it looked so comfortable, but it wasn't. But it looked so comfortable. And I laid down on it, and I've learned something about rope on boats that's used to fish. They collect ants. So when I think about Peter fishing all night, this isn't a pleasure cruise. He's tired. He's been up all night, and Jesus says, let's use your boat. And when Jesus gets out there, he says, Simon, launch out into the deep and let your net down for a catch. Here's where I see Peter's faith. It's kind of like my faith. Lord, I've tried that already, been there and done that. It didn't work. We fished all night and we caught no fish. Nevertheless, at your word, in case you want to change your mind, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down our nets and see what happens. And so they let down their nets and they get the most awesome ever seen. They're trying to pull in the nets and the nets are breaking because there are so many fish in there. They're signaling their boats back on the shore. Come on, help us. Everybody, get in your boats. Come out here. The fish are everywhere. And they get back to the shore with a catch that they've never imagined having. And when Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You know, there are a lot of us in this life who know that we're not perfect. And there are a lot of people who say my sin is so great that God doesn't want anything to do with me. Some years ago, in my capacity as chaplain with the police departments, I was called out down to Sampson. You'll remember there was a mass shooting down there. And there were people everywhere. There's this young man there, and he was covered in tattoos, and he was standing on the outside of the building, and he was asking questions, and it happened to be a church building there. And I said, if you'll come in, I'll see if I can find out what you need to know and find out how to help you. He said, I can't go in there. He said, I'm a pagan. I can't go in there. He said, that building would fall down if I walked in there. I think there are people like Peter who fall down and say, Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. This is a scary thing for me. And yet Peter comes one of the greatest servants of God of all time. Peter gets over that and he does follow him. Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to catch men. You see what we did with fish? Can you imagine what we're going to do with the human race? And so I identify with Peter's faith. Being overpowered by the power of the Son of God and then seeing Jesus come back gently, bringing him in and said, we're going to catch men now. And he leaves the fishing business. He leaves his ship, his boat behind. And he goes and he follows Jesus to catch men. But there's something else about Peter's faith. And we've already mentioned it briefly. Peter believed, but Peter sank. You look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and following verses there. You'll read the story how Jesus has had a busy day and his disciples, and Jesus needs a time to go up into the mountain to pray. But he needs his own private time to go up into the mountain to pray. And while he is in the mountain praying, his disciples get on the boat and they're crossing the sea, and a storm comes up. And it becomes very frightening for everybody involved. And so Jesus has to intervene, and Peter is going to walk on water. Have you ever imagined walking on water? I'm not talking about little water that you're walking on the ground and the water's just not that high. I'm talking about being able to get out there and walk on water. Peter does this. Peter does this by faith. In fact, as we read, and he sees that the winds are contrary out in the middle of the sea, and the disciples are afraid, and Jesus goes out. It's about midnight out there. He goes out in the fourth watch of the night, walking to them on the sea. Jesus starts out being the one to walk on the water. He walks out. What would you think if you were in the middle of the storm and you saw somebody walking on the water where nobody had walked before? They couldn't explain it. They said it must be his ghost. And you say, why didn't they jump to that conclusion? They were scared to death. That's why they jumped to that conclusion. They were scared they were going around. They were scared they were going to die. And so they were having this hallucination that they thought of Jesus, or the only other explanation, his ghost is coming out to meet us. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's just me, Peter. Peter's the only one that does this. He says, Lord, if it's you, he doesn't use these words in Scripture, but he's kind of saying, prove it. If it's really you, command me to come out onto the water and walk out there like you're walking on the water. So Jesus says, okay, good enough. And Peter gets out of the boat. Everybody else stays in the boat. Peter has faith to walk on water. How many of us would be willing to get out of the boat in the middle of the storm to walk on the water when the waves were bad and the wind was bad? And Peter gets out there, and the Bible says when he saw that the winds and the waves and everything going on in the storm, he began to sink. He had weak faith. But you know, there are times in my journey when I've wanted to follow the Lord and I've jumped out there and I wanted to do the right thing, and you just come overwhelmed with everything around you. And sometimes faith seems to fade. Oh, it shouldn't. I'm not excusing anything. I'm not saying we should be like this. I'm just saying we're humans and it happens sometimes. And so here's Peter. He's out on the water and he's walking. And in verse 30, the Bible says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. And even then, he cried out, Lord, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, save me. You see, faith becomes fear, and then from fear back again to faith. He begins to sink, and Jesus recognizes that this is a problem. And Jesus answers back to him and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Chastises him a little bit, and maybe sometimes we need to be chastised because we forget our focus and we see the storm instead of the Savior. And then Peter and Jesus are back in the boat. And so those in the boat came and worshiped him. Now, I realize that there's that group that never got out of the water, but Peter's getting back into the boat, and they are worshiping him. It appears that it all happened real quick. There was that moment of fear that slipped in, but faith was what got him on the water. Faith is what got him in the boat. Faith is what had him worship Jesus when it was all said and done. So he began to sink, but he was saved. Perhaps one of the greatest elements of Peter's faith that he takes a lot of heat for is his denial. Yes, the great Apostle Peter, who did so much and is so prominent in the beginning of the church, who came from strong religious background in the Jewish faith and now had accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and was one of the inner three that was with him when nobody else was with him, he had that lapse of faith, caused him to deny him. Jesus predicted it in Matthew 26. Starting in verse 31, Jesus says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. He says, it's been prophesied, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. But after I've been risen, I will go before you to Galilee. Jesus tells his disciples there, the time has come and you're all going to scatter. By the way, please notice Peter's not the only one who had a problem here. The Master, the Savior, the Lord, the Teacher, the Rabbi is fixing to be taken, arrested, beaten, spit on, and crucified. If there ever was a time to begin to get afraid because the world was going a different way, this seems like a good time. It doesn't look like anything is going right for everything that we believed in. And Peter says, if they all scatter and are made to stumble because of you, I will never stumble. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand by you. That's his faith speaking. It's not his arrogance. It's his faith that said, Lord, I know that hard times are coming, and if everybody gives up, I believe in you. And I see nothing in Scripture to contradict the fact that that's exactly what his heart told him. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter again comes back and he says, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to leave you. Peter says it will never happen. But drop on down further in the chapter, all the way to down to verse 69. And exactly what Jesus said was going to happen happens. They're in a courtyard, and there's a servant girl, and she comes out, and she says to him, you were also with Jesus of Galilee. She's a little servant girl. I don't think she's trying to get anybody in trouble. I think she's just making an observation. It's kind of like somebody passes by, sees you go out of the building today, and says, oh, you were at the Church of Christ Sunday, weren't you? It's just an observation. But Peter's response was to deny it before everybody. We don't have the exact words given, but it was probably something like, nope, not me. I'm not with him. Just passing through. Wasn't me. He's on his own. And Peter doesn't realize what he's doing, or apparently doesn't realize what he's doing. But Peter still wants to be close to the Lord. You know, the thing sometimes I don't do, and sometimes I'm weak, and sometimes I mess it up. And that's where Peter is. And it's not very long. He makes it up to the gateway, the gate of the courtyard. And there's another young girl. Again, not a soldier, not a policeman, not the high priest, just another little girl, likely a servant. And she says, this fella was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter, buddy, you're there. I understand you want to. You're trying to connect. I see what's going on here. Peter, you're trying to. He was with Jesus of Nazareth. And this time, with an oath, he denies him. He said, I swear to you, I do not know this man. He took an oath. Before God, I don't know this man. I don't know what words he used, but it says he took an oath and he said, I don't know the man. Peter said it would never happen but a third time. The third time, we follow on, just a little later, those who stood by, several people came and said to Peter, surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Those of us from Alabama know that, don't we? We go anywhere, they say, where are you from? I always like to say, why? They said, I like to hear you talk. So I say, yes, we got some taters and grits, and we got some stuff back there at home, little ham hocks. Mom and them, your speech betrays you. We know that you're one of those Galileans. We know that you're one of his. You can't deny it. Everybody can hear the way that you speak. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. He used curse words. He swore again. I don't know him. Three times. And the Bible says, and immediately the rooster crowed in verse 74. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So he went out and he wept bitterly. I know what you're thinking. How could Peter do that? How could he deny the Lord? I think people do it every day today. I think they deny him with their words, with their behavior. Sometimes come out straight and say, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in God. I ain't got time for that stuff. You're weak. That's a crutch. There are people who say a lot of different things that don't really acknowledge him. They deny him. But Peter was in this special circumstance where he had professed his faith and he failed. He failed even when Jesus said, before the night's over, you'll deny me three times. Jesus didn't pronounce a curse on him. He was just telling him how it's going to be. Peter, I know you want to do right. But sometimes hard times come. And when it happened, Peter broke down. But there's a final thing I want to talk about Peter's faith. And that's his usefulness. Jesus never gave up on his usefulness. Luke chapter 22, starting verse 31. Just two verses here, really. And Jesus was saying this, and this is a little out of order. Maybe I should have made this point before. This happens right before the denial. Luke just records it a little differently. And so right before the denial, right before all this is going to happen, there seems to be this private talk that Jesus has with Peter. And he said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. Remember back in the Old Testament, the book of Job, that confrontation between God and Satan when he said, you let me have him, he'll deny you. Much the same way, Satan says, we're going to take him and we're going to destroy him and he's one of the chief believers and he's one of the chief apostles and he's got so much, if we can just break Peter down, Satan has desired you. Simon, listen to me. Satan wants you, but I've prayed for you. Jesus said, no matter how bad Satan wants you, I have prayed for you. I'm warning you. I want you to know what's coming about. And did you see exactly what he prayed for? That your faith not fail. He's fixing to tell him about three denials that are coming up. That sounds like a faith failure to me. But Jesus said, I'm not giving up on you. You're there. You've got your struggles, but we don't give up. We want you to make it. And when you have returned to me, you're going to leave. You're going to deny me. But when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. You're useful. Nobody's giving up on you. You've got a part to play. You've got something to do. Yes, you're going to mess up. We all mess up. Yes, you're going to deny me. We've all denied him in one way or another. But Jesus said, you're still useful to me. And then the betrayal. I wondered, what's the last thing Peter said? You hear people talking about their final words. Mama just wanted you to know that she loved you. When she passed away, the last thing she said was she loved you. Now often people will say, well, were there any final words to do? Was there anything that he wanted me to do? What were her final words? What were his final words? I didn't find a passage that said, here are his final words. So I took the final words of Scripture that Peter has attributed to him. 2 Peter chapter 3, the closing out verses down in verses 17 and 18. In the New Century Version, it reads like this. Dear friends, since you already know about this, be careful. Do not let those evil people lead you away by the wrong that they do. Hey, I understand that. Hadn't you looked at all the things we talked about this morning? Peter's had the battles. He's had the struggle. You know about this. Be careful. Don't let the evil people lead you the wrong way. Be careful so that you will not fail from your strong faith. That's coming from Peter. Peter with his ups and his downs, his encouragement to you and to me. For this letter was meant to be read by Christians of all time. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to be Him now and forever. And amen. Peter says sometimes faith takes a beating. Life says that too, doesn't it? And you had some hard times, made some mistakes, disappointed yourself, those who love you, and even God Himself. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe. No, I haven't obtained that one yet. I like to sing the song. I wish I had that faith, but sometimes I struggle. And that's why Jesus came in the first place, wasn't it? Not to tell us not to try, not to tell us, oh, you're going to mess up anyway, but to be the propitiation of our sins. To say that when you can't make it on your own, I'm going to give my blood for you to make up the difference. And if sin's overtaken your life, you can wash it away. If you're a believer, penitent of your sins, confessing His name, in the waters of baptism, He'll wash away your sins. You'll be raised without a single sin. And if you live faithful, you can go to heaven and live with Him forever. And sometimes even after we've done that, Peter, oh, that struggling faith. I'm glad that God told us about Peter and his faith. Because when I mess up, I know that I can still be useful to Him. And that I can still believe. And Peter said, Keith, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know your need. Maybe you want to publicly come this morning and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ. We'll assist you in that. Maybe you've been a Christian all of your life, but you haven't lived as you should. And in a public way, you need the prayers of the church or need to make something right with those you've wronged. Maybe you need to change something personally. But a faith like Peter should let us know that God always wants us to be saved and never to be lost. So this morning, if there's a way that we can help you, won't you come to the front while we stand and while we sing?